Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. So thankful. What an incredible job that Marissa did this morning in sharing what God has done in our place. And Lord, what a blessing it is to be part of the family of God, and how the Lord is working in our students is just a great blessing to me. We're going to jump back into a sermon series that we kind of began, and really kind of a new series within that series as we walk through the book of Exodus. And we're going to really start today in a series called The Road Ahead. And we're going to really just look at what it looks like to learn, to trust God in the midst of the wilderness, to worship Him in the wilderness, how to follow Him in the wilderness. I'm thankful that we have a God who not only delivers us, but He directs us and He dwells with us. He gives us His presence. And, you know, when we think about the road ahead, I know for different people it means a lot of different things, maybe in different moments. You can think about some of our graduates that we'll celebrate next week, and, you know, kind of a transition time in their life. And you think about the road ahead. When we think about maybe when we travel and when we are going on a vacation, or maybe we're going on a long trip. As guys, we think about the road ahead, and a lot of times, and maybe some of you ladies too, we really spend a lot of time thinking about the route. We think about how long it's going to take. We have a kind of a secret competition in our hearts that we must beat the GPS there, right? And so we've got to somehow figure out how to do that. And so it's important for all of you families to realize you're going to need to plan every stop with great precision. We're going to go to the restroom, get gas, maybe have a short bite, and we're going to get back in the car in quick fashion so we can get on down the road, because we're on a journey, right? And sometimes what we really don't like is when that journey takes a shift. We live in a GPS generation. I'm so thankful for that. I love having that voice from the dash giving me turn-by-turn directions. Go past this light, turn left. Go past this light, turn left. There used to be a Waze app, and you could put Mr. T on there, and I love that. And you could be driving, and it'd be like, fool, turn around. You maybe it was awesome. So that was one of my favorites. I don't know if that voice is still there. I'm trying that when I leave. I just thought of that. But hey, it was so awesome, right? Because sometimes we make wrong turns, you know, and we have to turn around and come back, or we get rerouted. Sometimes the detour is just in our midst. And, you know, we think about those things, and we see those things happening. And also, we don't really like those things, because what we want, this is what we want. Every one of us, we want the straightest way. We want the shortest way. We want the safest way. We want the easiest way. And ultimately, at the root of all that, really, we want our way. But what I've understood as I've walked with Jesus over these past few years of my life, right? What I've understood is God's way is seldom the shortest and the easiest. And the journey that sometimes we're on can feel long, but I'm reminded that God's goal is a little different than ours. He doesn't just want to get us somewhere, and this is kind of the truth that I hope you'll take with you today. God's goal isn't just to get you somewhere, it's to make you more like someone. And God is working in the midst of our journey as we follow Jesus. He doesn't just lead us out of bondage and out of those moments. He doesn't just lead us out, but He leads us in. And He leads us into His plan, into His purpose, into His promise. And this is what's happening in Exodus chapter 13. If you want to take your copy of God's Word, that's where we're going to be today. We'll be reading from the last part of that chapter. And for those of you that may just be joining us on the journey, I'll remind you that God has used a man named Moses in an incredible way. He has raised up Moses. God's people had found themselves in bondage, and God has raised up a deliverer. He's raised up this man named Moses. He's worked miracles in their lives. He's worked miracles in Moses' life. He's brought judgment on Egypt, and He has delivered His people from slavery. It's an incredible moment in the scriptures. For the first time in over 400 years, these people are free. They're in this moment that they've been made free, but in all reality, they're not sure where to go. They're not sure what path to take. They're not sure how these next steps are going to come together. But what we learn from their story, and what I hope that we'll learn today, is that the God who delivers us is also the God who directs us. He's the God who dwells with us. And when we see, we're going to see over over this next few weeks, what it looks like to walk forward with God as our guide, what it looks like when maybe he chooses the long road for us. And you know, that's what this series is going to lean on. I want to invite you to take your copy of God's Word, to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus 13 if you're not already there, and to stand with me if you're able in honor of the reading of God's Word. You'll see it on the screen if you don't have it there, but we'll read these verses. At the end of those verses, you'll see Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 on the screen. And as a congregation, we like to say that together every week. And so I invite you to do that with me. Beginning in verse 17, the scripture says this: "Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. Then they set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And then all together, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands." Will you pray with me? Holy God, we're grateful. God, we're grateful for your word. God, we're grateful for your Holy Spirit that guides us, Lord. And I pray, God, that as we walk through this scripture today, Lord, that you would do what only you could do. God, in the power of your Spirit, would you take the word of God and apply it to the hearts of the people of God, that we might leave on mission for the glory of God, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would do a work in all of us, Lord. God, a work, God, that would help us to take that next step. God, may we trust you more. May we be reminded of your great promises, Lord. And may we be encouraged and strengthened by your presence. And Lord, may you receive all the praise, because you alone are worthy, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And, you know, as we examine this passage of scriptures, we lean in a little bit, right? We're reminded Israel has stepped out of slavery. They're into freedom. They've got their sandals on. They've got their silver, their gold. They've got this provision that God has given them. And they are on the road ahead. They are on this road ahead, and all reality is they're ready to go, but they're not sure exactly about the path. They're not sure exactly about the next steps. And if you and I are in charge of the GPS, right, if I'm mapping this thing out, I can assure you that the route that they took is not the route that we would pick. It is not the route that would make most sense. It's not the route that we'd be looking at. We would be looking for the shortest and the fastest route. We would be looking for the easiest route to the promised land. There's a road that's like that. The coastal highway is what they would have expected them to pick. It's what we would have expected them to pick. But in verse 17, we see that God did not lead them the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. And so there was reason behind what God was doing, right? The scripture goes on to say that God said the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Now, we see these moments where God is directing their path. It's not the shortest path. It's not the easiest path. And sometimes as we walk on this journey, it's not the shortest path. It's not the easiest path. But I want you to know God's path is the best path. And we understand that God is working in the midst of this path. He's working in our lives. He is working and he understood the things that are ahead. God knew that when they saw war that they were not ready. They were dressed in martial array. They were dressed for battle. They were ready for battle in their own minds probably, but what the reality was is God knew that they were not, that they would turn back when they saw war, that they would rather go back to Egypt than face them. So God knew those things. In other words, we're reminded that God sees what we can't. God saw what they couldn't, and he worked in light of that, right? God was at work in their lives. The Bible says in verse 18 that God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea, and the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. So we find them here. They were out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of them. And instead of taking the shortcut, God takes them the long way. And he takes them the long way on purpose. Adrian Rogers said it this way. He said, "The wilderness was God's boot camp. It was a place of hardness and discipline, not because God had forsaken them, but because he was getting them ready. What might have looked like a mistake, what just looking at the route would seem that way, it was not a mistake, it was God's mercy. And the thing we learn first in this passage, point number one, is that God prepares the path and he calls us to walk. God prepares the path. He calls us to walk. And, you know, we sometimes look back at our lives and there's moments, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to discern all the things that are happening. We can find ourselves confused sometimes and wondering which way to turn. And, you know, I look back at my life and there's times that I've gone on the long route because I didn't listen, right? Anybody ever done that, right? You've gone on the long route because you didn't follow the instructions of the GPS. You've gone on the long route because instead of following God's way, instead of being obedient to the word of God and following his way, I've gone my own way. And the GPS is like the Mr. T thing. Fool, turn around. But the Holy Spirit, like, is turn around, fool, you're going the wrong way. It's like, and so the conviction and the understanding of that, like I'm going the wrong way, and God in his grace and God in his mercy, he convicts my heart, and the Spirit of God is with me. It reveals this truth. And so we repent, right, and we turn, and we begin to go the right direction, begin to follow Jesus. So sometimes I'm on the long way because I didn't listen. But there's also sometimes God takes us the long way because we are listening. God's working in both of those things. I'm so thankful that regardless of whether I was going my own way, that God still was faithful, that God in his love, right, was working in the midst of those moments, right? And there's purpose in the path. There's purpose. God's working in all those things. The wilderness, it was a place of preparation for them. It was a place where they were stretched. It was a place where God was shaping them. It's a place where he's going to strengthen them for battle, where he reminds them of his faithfulness. This is what God is doing. Sometimes we desire things fast, right? We desire the short way. So we're praying for relationships. We're praying for a particular job, a particular thing. We're praying for certain things maybe in our life. And when those things don't happen in the timeline that we think they should, and for me, sometimes when I've been going the wrong way, and then the Spirit of God's convicted me, the Word of God has convicted me of my sin. There's places I've been going the wrong way, and all of a sudden I've been willing to respond to that conviction and turn and begin to go the right way. Somehow in those moments, it seems like, okay, Lord, I'm going the right way now. Everything should just line out. It should be happening immediately. Everything should just be perfect and all these things. And when it doesn't happen in our timeline, we begin to wonder, God, where are you at? What are you doing? Why does it feel like I'm just wandering around in circles in the midst of this moment? And could the truth be that we're simply just not ready for what God is doing? We're not ready, and we're wandering in some of those places. D.L. Moody said this about Moses, as we reflect back on Exodus, right? Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, 40 years learning he was nobody, right? Taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, right? He was in a place in the wilderness, right? Being prepared. He was learning in that place. He says 40 years learning he was nobody, and 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. That's what Moses is experiencing in these moments. He's beginning to understand those things. And I'm convinced that in our pride and so many things, many times we start on this journey, and as long as we think we're somebody, we're going to wander through these places, and we've got to understand. You know, we sung it this morning. We sung this great truth in John 15. Listen, Jesus, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And as long as we think we're somebody, listen, we're going to walk through these struggles because we got to understand that we are nobody. But the good news of the gospel is that when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that we receive somebody, that we receive the Spirit of God that lives in us. And God takes a bunch of nobodies, fills them with somebody, and then he'll use every one of you to tell everybody. That's the plan that God has for his church, that we would recognize that. And the longer that we wander, the longer that our pride leans in there, the longer that we think we're somebody, the more we're going to wander in the wilderness. And my hope is that we would recognize that apart from him, we can do nothing. But with him, God can do incredible things in our lives, right? And he gets all the glory. He takes the weak and confounds the wise. He takes a bunch of nobodies and he uses them in incredible ways for the glory of his name. And so we wonder sometimes, we wonder what's going on, and we're in this journey. We're on the long road. It's not that God is punishing us. God is preparing us. And we may not understand, we may not be able to grasp the full picture, But I want to remind you this morning, it really doesn't matter. You don't have to understand it all. What I want to ask you to do is trust the one who does. Trust the one who sees all things and knows all things and is working all things together for good. See, the important thing isn't that you know, it's that he knows. And we trust him in that. We follow when he says go. Because he's not just getting us to a destination. He is conforming us to look like him. He is at work in the midst of our lives, and he is preparing us for his purposes. Look at verse 19, Exodus 13. We read this: Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. And when we read this, you can kind of read by it, but if you'll just lean in and kind of think about this moment, this is kind of a strange thing. This is kind of an unusual detail that we include. Like, they're toting bones through the desert, and so I just want to imagine, you know, this morning you're pulling into church and there's a family and they're maybe they're, you know, kind of traveling, they're staying in some different places on a journey somewhere, and as they pull in, like, you see Tony in the parking lot, he's waving, welcoming, you know, in, got the big smile, all those things. Family pulls in and one of them's got the hearse, you know, and Tony just kind of glances as he comes in. He's like, there's a coffin in the back, that's interesting, you know. It's like, and they're just driving, like, wherever they go, coffins in the back, here we go. It's just, I mean, they're traveling in this kind of way. And it seems a little bit strange, but it's this incredibly powerful thing that we see in the scripture. Joseph had died hundreds of years earlier. And before he passed, he looked his brothers in the eye and he said, I believe the promises of God. And he said, one day, God's going to deliver his people out of here. God's faithful. He's going to keep the promise that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there's going to be a day when he brings his people out. And when that day comes, he, don't you leave me here. Listen, I'm going to this promised land. He says, listen, don't leave me in Egypt. And here's what's beautiful. They remembered. It's incredible to me that generations passed and that they still remember in the middle of this chaotic moment, in the middle of this miraculous deliverance that God is granting them. They didn't forget Joseph. They didn't forget Joseph, and the reason they didn't forget Joseph is because Joseph never forgot God. Joseph knew that God was faithful. He had seen God's hand at work. He understood in Genesis 50 when we read what the enemy meant for evil, God meant it for good. He understood that from the pit all the way to the palace that God had used his life. And I want to tell you, Joseph took a long journey. Joseph took a long journey, and there were things that he didn't get to see for his own eyes. There were things about getting to the promised land that while he was alive to experience, but he never discounted the promises of God. He believed that God was faithful, and Joseph never forgot God's promises. And point number two today, I hope that you won't forget either. God keeps his promises, and he calls us to believe. He calls us to believe, to rest and trust that his word is true. Joseph died believing, and he made the faith chapter in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, the Bible says, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. And generations later, this promise is being fulfilled, and God is doing exactly what he promised. He's doing exactly what Joseph believed that he would. He believed when God said he was going to bring his people to the promised land. And listen, we can know one day, and they knew one day, Joseph knew one day, that there was going to be a praising people that would enter the promised land. And we can rest and know that one day, all those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're going to be on a long journey home. But one day, when Jesus comes and when we're able to be in the very presence of God for eternity, we're going to be a praising people in the promised land. And we can rest on the promises of God on the hard days, on the good days. We can know that God is faithful, right? And they were carrying this coffin, but it was a reminder of the faithfulness of God. It was a reminder. When they saw that coffin, they ought to have looked at that coffin. And when there was war in front of them, and when the giants were around them, and when things that they were nervous of, when they saw that coffin, they ought to remember God's faithful. God's going to finish what he started. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I'm remembering the faithfulness of God and his promises, and I'm not going to fear. I'm going to walk. Listen, we need to remember God's going to get us there, and we're going to keep walking. We're going to keep being faithful. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, the Bible says that we are his workmanship, that if you're in Christ Jesus, you're not who you used to be. The testimony that we heard this morning, now we're free in Christ, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And when we walk and when we live, we understand I'm not who I used to be. I've been created a masterpiece in Christ Jesus, God's family, his workmanship for good works that he has prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. He expects us to hear his voice and begin to walk, to keep walking. And listen, we get weary in the midst. Our time gets off. There's these delays on the journey, but God is faithfulness. In Joseph's bones, they reminded them of God's faithfulness in the past. We're going to see also, though, God gave them a reminder of his faithfulness in the present. Look next in verse 20. They set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light that they might travel by day and night. Isn't it great to know that God doesn't just rescue them, but he goes before them. He leads them. God doesn't just deliver us, but he leads us. He guides us. He was going before them. He walks ahead of them. We see this picture, this cloud by day, this fire by night. And they have this 24/7 reminder, visual reminder of God's presence. This is a crazy thing. I read Exodus 3. I think about the burning bush moment. I think about this pillar of fire and this cloud by day, this fire by night. I think about those moments. And there's a part of me that thinks of those moments. And I'm like, I just wish when I got in my car and was heading out from here that all of a sudden I just look up and here's a little cloud. Like, I'm my own personal little, you know, drive me around. Where do I go, Lord? I'm following the cloud. Like it's God's position and system, right? That's what they had. And they just followed, right? They just walked in that thing. I'm thinking, I want the bush that burneth, right? I want to just go in there. And in the woods, I'm like, I'm going to go here. And all of a sudden, I hear the voice of the Lord firing the bush. There's no way I can miss it. Reveal to me some things. We think about that. And we desire those kind of things, right? That they were, that God's presence was there. This is point number three, right? God leads us with his presence. God leads with his presence and he calls us to follow. He calls us to follow. But if we're honest, we read these and somehow in our minds, we feel like we're missing out. We feel like they had some advantage because of this cloud or this fire. But what we understand is that if we understand and read and know the word of God, we have something greater, follower of Christ. You have something so much greater. You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. Jesus said this in John 16, 13. He said, but when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you, guides you, directs you. Listen, the question is not whether or not the Holy Spirit still speaks. And I made a note, and it was interesting. In the first service, I made a note as I was preparing the message. I made a note that says it's not a question as to whether or not the Holy Spirit still speaks. The question is whether or not we're listening. Are we listening? But as I was reading through this in the early service, there was just a place of conviction that came over my heart that it's not really the greatest question that I could ask. The question is, do we really want to be led? I believe that's the question. I believe it's the question for the children of Israel as they had to choose to follow God. And we see them go through all kinds of journeys in the wilderness. We see all kinds of disobedience. We see God's faithfulness and all that. But listen, we have the Spirit of God. And the question is, follower of Jesus, do you want to be led? Do we really want to be led? Because there's a tension. There's a tension that I've wrestled with. There's a tension maybe that you've wrestled with. God will lead us. God will direct us. But the question is, do I really want him to lead? Because in my heart, I'm wondering, is he going to ask me to do something that I don't want to do? Is he going to cause me to walk in a place that's uncomfortable? What if the Holy Spirit asks me to do something that's uncomfortable? And here's what I want to tell you. He absolutely will. He absolutely will. And we sometimes, you know, I think about little kids. You're trying to tell them something, or there's been times I've just been trying to be funny and somebody's talking to me and I'll be like, nah, 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 nah. And sometimes, like, We have the Holy Spirit that got us, and we don't want to hear because we're afraid of what he might ask us to do. We're afraid of what that road ahead looks like. We're afraid of those moments. And I want to just remind you, the Holy Spirit is not here to make you comfortable. The Holy Spirit is to make you Christ-like. He's here to direct you, and he's here to prepare you and use you for the purposes of God. And so many times my prayers have been this: God, here's my plan. God, here's my path. This is why we don't hear from God, because we're not interested in hearing from God. We're interested in our way. We're interested in our path. And we say, God, here's my path. And I invite you, as long as my path looks like what I want it to look like, for you to come in and bless my path and protect my path and provide for me on the path. But what he desires and what the Spirit of God desires is no one to conform us to the image of Christ, but that we would surrender and submit and say, God, not my will, but yours be done. We're afraid of it for our students. What if God's plan? What if the Holy Spirit sends maybe one of our kids on the mission field for the glory of God? Maybe there's fears that we have about those things. Maybe there's fears that prevent us from hearing his voice. He's gonna work in you. If you desire to be led, he's gonna do things like he's gonna call you to forgive. He's gonna call you to surrender. He's gonna call you to trust him when you don't have all the answers. And he is at work in you to accomplish his purposes through you. The Spirit of God forms Christ in us so that the world might see Christ displayed through us as we live for his glory. So how do we follow his lead? We've got to close in a short time. Like, if we have this greater gift, if we have the Spirit of God that directs us and God desires to speak to us and he will speak to us, how do we hear his voice? I'm going to give you just three words. I think they're very simple, but I believe they're very true. And the first one is just desire. You'll see these on the screen. Very simple, desire. And it really goes back to that first question. Do you want to hear his voice? And the reality of what that question answers, and I hope every one of us say yes, but what that means is that we want to be led more than we want to be comfortable. That's what that means for our life, that we want to be led and we want to follow God more than we want our comfort, that we're willing to trade our comfort for the cross, that we're willing to trade our comfort to deny ourselves and to live for the glory of God and to understand that his purposes are greater than that. And so we must desire that. The second thing is discern. A lot of us wonder, like, how do we hear his voice? You know, my wife, she was in the service before this one and had a little fun moment in there as I was just kind of talking about our interaction. And some of you guys may be guilty of what I'm going to share, but there's a lot of times on the journey where I can be focused on a lot of things. And, you know, sometimes in my world, like, there's pings coming from, well, we all have these, right? I'll be reading something on my phone, or I'll have my mind just in another place in that moment. And my wife, she's soft-spoken, and she'll be talking to me. There'll be like this little voice over here, and it's Sherry, you know, and I love her so much. She's telling me whatever about that day or the things that are there. And I find myself, she's talking to me, and somehow, like, I used to think I was good at multitasking, but I've understood that's really not the case. But somehow I can be writing or doing whatever I'm doing, and she's talking to me. And I'll be saying that I can respond in this moment too. Like, this is how skilled I am. And so she's talking to me and she's like, whatever. And she's saying all those things. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you make a lot of those noises. Those kind of, and so, I mean, this is just kind of how it's going. And then all of a sudden there'll be a moment where she'll ask this question that's not yes or no, you know, and it's like this question. So she's talked for like 30 minutes and I've been like in a whole nother world. And she says, so what do you think we ought to do now? And somehow she'll kind of get my attention that moment. And I realize that no matter what I do right here, I'm kind of in trouble, because I don't want to just make up an answer because I have no idea what I'm saying, you know? And so then I'll look at her and I'll say, you're going to have to start over. And kind of help me, because my brain just wasn't there and I just wasn't processing all this stuff. And so I asked her in the early service, I said, so how long does that conversation go sometimes before that happens? And she said, how long have we been married? And I was like, that's one for Sherry today, right? And so for almost 29 years, right, she's been understanding that she's got to get my attention sometimes, and that she's got to do that. And God does that. We've experienced that maybe in our own lives where we've not been hearing it, and God's done something to get our attention. He's done something to engage, right? But we've got to be able to discern His voice. And in order to do that, for me to hear my wife's voice, I've got to shut off some of the other things, the distractions and the noise and all the things that are around me. I've got to be willing to close those things down. I've got to be doing that. And when we talk about discerning, here's something else that if you don't get anything else that I say today, the Spirit of God will never instruct you to do anything that is contrary to the Word of God. Right? So if we want to understand how we discern, we measure it against the Word of God. We measure it against the truth of God's Word. And here's something you can understand. There's a lot of stuff that's just revealed in His Word, and we don't need to pray about it for 47 days. Like you know, you're going, and all of a sudden you're like, you know, I kind of feel like the Holy Spirit may be leading me to share the gospel with my neighbor and go my day. You don't have to pray about that forever. I mean, sure, pray about it as you go, but God's Word is revealed. Like this is what we're about. We are to go on mission for the glory of His name. We don't have to, you know, kind of wrestle. Sometimes we're trying to seek, you know, like, God, what's Your will for our life, when there's so much that He's just revealed in His Word, and we just need to be obedient and walk in those ways so we discern those things. And many times, it's like Elijah. You know, we read about him in 1 Kings 19. You may not hear God's voice in the fire or these kind of big, crazy things, but in that still, small voice when you are alone with Him. And then the final thing, right, the last word, do what He says. Just do what He says. You know, the Spirit leads when He prompts. Listen, we seek Him. We desire to walk in. We want to be led more than we want to be comfortable. So we're blocking apart time. We understand that our day needs to begin dependent on Him. We need to begin our day desiring His presence. We discern the things that we sense, the things that we hear. We discern those things. Does it measure up to the Word of God? And then we do them. We walk in obedience to Him. And the question is, like, do we really want to be led? I think that's the question that we all have got to answer this morning. The one who has brought us out, if you're a follower of Christ, if you've repented of your sins and placed your faith in Christ, the one who has led us out, He is going before you. He desires to lead you. He's given His Spirit to lead you. And the question is, do we really want to be led? The road ahead, it's not promised to be easy, but God promises to be with us. God is faithful on the journey. And maybe this morning begins with a recognition that, like I do with my wife sometimes, when I just realize that I've been just distracted, that I've been desiring my comfort more than His presence, more than to be led by Him. Maybe this morning is a response to that. Maybe this morning is just a turning, a shutting down of things that are around so we can hear His voice. Maybe for some of you, you recognize you're saying, hey, I've been lost on this journey. I've been unable to hear. And you recognize this morning that there's never been a time in your life where you've repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus, that you've never surrendered to Him as Lord. And you're doing this thing on your own. You're trying to navigate this journey without Christ. You don't need better directions. You need a new heart. You need to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to worship this morning. Father, we're grateful, God, for Your grace and Your mercy. God, we thank You for Your love for us, Your gift of salvation in our lives, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that for all followers of Jesus Christ, Lord, as we repent and believe, Lord, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that seals us, that guides us. Lord, Your presence with us. God, I pray, Lord, that we could be dependent on You, that this morning we would declare our dependence on You. God, that You might direct us and guide us. Lord, if there's someone here that's never repented of their sins and trusted You, God, I pray You'd convict their hearts, that they need to be rescued. God, that they need to submit their lives to You and surrender. God, not simply to leave here and try harder, or not to somehow clean themselves up, but to surrender to You as Lord. To be born again and made new, forgiven, free. to receive your spirit that will direct them. So maybe there's some of you this morning that need to be saved. I want to invite you to respond in these moments, to receive the gift of salvation. The scripture says, as many as received him, he gave them the right to become sons and daughters of God. The work is done. How will you respond? King Jesus, have your will and your way in our lives. Lord, help us to seek you. Help us to do what it takes daily to just be in a place to hear your voice. But God, this morning I pray, Lord, that you would help us just to surrender and say, I want to be led. Not my will, but yours. My answer is yes. Now show me where you want me to go. Show me what you want me to do. Guide me. Use me. And Lord, we pray that we would glorify you in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand.